From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm all beef anchorman, Bill Curtis. And here is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, everybody. Oh, we have prepared a great show for you today. We are so excited for our guest, novelist and writer Richard Price. His crime novels like Clockers and Lush Life make us all want to be, you know, tough New York cops. It's why, probably, Howie down in IT keeps talking like this.
I got two servers blown and no wits who saw a damn thing. You jamokes, try turning this Johnny off and back on again.
It's the job, man. We want to hear your stories of life on these unforgiving streets, so give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. So let's welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Josh Webb calling from Marshall, Michigan.
Hi, Josh. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Where is Marshall, Michigan?
Marshall, Michigan is in southern Michigan. It's close to Battle Creek, which is Cereal City, home of Kellogg's Post.
What do you do there in Marshall?
Well, I eat my parents' food, actually. I'm in college.
I see.
I'm home for the break right now.
Good for them.
If you win Carl Castle's voice, will you give it to them as rent?
Yeah, actually, I thought about it.
Well, welcome to our show. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, a correspondent for CBS Sunday Morning and the host of My Grandmother's Ravioli on the Cooking Channel. It's the ubiquitous Mo Rocca.
Hi, Josh.
Next, another contributor to CBS Sunday Morning and the host of Science Goes to the Movies, which you can find at CUNY.TV. It's Faith Saley. And finally, joining our panel for the first time, it's a writer for Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and you may have seen him in the movie Obvious Child. It's Gabe Liedman.
Hi, Josh. How's it going?
So, Josh, of course, you're going to play Who's Bill this time. Bill will start us off with three quotations in the week's news. You know the drill. Identify two out of the three of them. You'll win our prize. Scorekeeper Emeritus Carl Castle, his voice on your voicemail. You ready to do this?
Yes, I am.
All right. Here is your first quote.
I've done three movies in Israel, Delta Force being my favorite. You have an incredible country, and we want to keep it that way.
As I'm sure I don't need to tell you because of Bill's rendition, that was Chuck Norris. And he was endorsing the man who won re-election in Israel this week. In fact, he helped put him over the top. Who is it?
Benjamin Netanyahu.
Yes, Bibi, as he is known. Bibi Netanyahu. Very good. Defying the polls leading up to the election, the Israeli prime minister won a sweeping victory this week, making this the first time since 2004 that the GOP has won a national election.
Oh, but President Obama must be just fashlugging with this whole process.
Did you just, is that Yiddish you just made up?
No, it's real. For Shlugana.
For
it's kind
Shlugana?
Of like just kind of
Shlugana?
Exhausted, right? But the whole, he's about to plot. Right?
I think Bibi's a lame nickname. Bibi? For a prime minister. I mean, I love Bibi Newworth. I think it's a gorgeous name. But I feel like if I was a powerful international prime minister with a ton of hate in my heart, I'd go by Yahoo.
Yahoo, Netanyahu?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
think
that.
Yahoo only.
Yeah.
Cut the rest of
Yahoo.
It.
So you'd be like, share.
Yes.
You know.
He's a flip-flop Nick, though, right? Isn't he now saying, maybe a two-state solution?
Well, this is what happened, is that he was very desperate because the polls were showing him losing going up to the election. So he said all these crazy things. He's like, elect me, people of Israel, and you'll get to eat bacon. under my new program, if you like your foreskin, you can keep it.
Well, that's real pork barrel.
Yeah. Better move on. Here is a man named Richard Schock talking somewhat proudly about his son, Aaron.
2 years from now, he'll be successful if he's not in jail.
Richard Schock was talking about all the great things that await Aaron Schock now that he has quit what?
Congress.
Yes, Congress. Thank you. Aaron Schock has been very well known since he was elected to Congress at the age of 28 back in 2008. He was so young that instead of a Bible, he was sworn in with his hand on the very hungry caterpillar. And he was always incredibly hot. He's so hot, Ted Kennedy once tried to drink his six-pack.
Seriously, chairman of chest and abs.
It was amazing, yeah. But his most recent claim to fame came this year when a Washington Post reporter got a tour of his office, which was decorated in the style of TV's Downton Abbey. It turns out that the taxpayers, that's us, paid for that, plus his many trips around the world and the country and the time he took his interns to a Katy Perry concert. If he was older and more experienced, he was, no, you cannot do this sort of thing. Silly, Aaron. Interns are for sleeping with.
All these accesses, he's totally setting himself up for a White House run.
Yes, I think so.
He also used taxpayer funds to fund trips. Like, he went to a Katy Perry concert.
Yes, like I said.
There's a picture of him with Ariana Grande, too.
Yeah, which is true.
And CrossFit is expensive.
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah.
And as his father implicated, there is a chance that this sort of thing could become a criminal indictment. It happened to Jesse Jackson Jr. for doing the same sort of thing. He went to jail. So if his father is right and Congressman Schock does go up to jail, really guaranteed to have the most fabulously decorated cell block.
He'll be popular there.
I think yeah. I think he's going to go with an Oz theme.
Wait, but you mean Wizard of Oz? No.
Here is your last quote.
Honest to God, if you engage me in conversation about race before I've had my morning coffee, it will not end well.
That was PBS's Gwen Ifill talking about whose plan to have their baristas talk about race with customers.
Starbucks.
Yes, Starbucks. Very good. It seems strange to think that the coffee chain could end racism in this country, but then again, they did manage to convince us all to spend $6 on a cup of coffee, so why not use that power for good? The idea is that apparently in addition to your name, they will write race together on your cup, and then they'll hand it to you in the hope that you will say, oh, what is this? And the barista can explain, it is about racism. Racism is bad. And the customer says, wow, I never realized racism was bad. And then he leaves the Ku Klux Klan and joins the Wu-Tang Klan.
Can't we all just get a latte?
Maybe it's just because I live in New York, but do you ever go into a Starbucks where there's not a line 20 people long? If my barista wants to start talking about race with me,
There's going to be a race riot.
I think that they should do racially themed drinks.
Oh, they already,
like a white privilegiatino.
Or they already.
Or like when I order, you know, you don't order the dark roast. You say, I would like a roast of color, please. Yeah.
I always ask for a tall Jamaican. I don't need this because I always was sensitive to these issues at Starbucks. My Starbucks name is W.E.B. Du Bois. When I order that. W.E.B. Du Bois.
Your white chocolate mocha is ready. Just a whole conversation in a cup about race.
Bill, how did Josh do in our quiz?
We're going to give Josh 3 right, and he won.
Congratulations. Well done, Josh. Thanks for playing.
Thank you very much.
We want to remind everybody they can join us most weeks right here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Illinois. For tickets and more information, just go over to WBEZ.org, or you can find a link at our website, waitwait.npr.org. Right now, panel, it's time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Gabe, the Puritans, you remember the Puritans,
sure.
They have a reputation for being our most unfun ancestors, but a new exhibit at the U.S. National Archives reveals what surprising fact about them?
Could I have a hint?
You may have a hint. You're picking this
up
rather quickly. Yes.
Yeah.
It's 5 o'clock, F. Somewhere, F.
They had their own happy hour. They loved to drink.
Yes, they loved to drink. In fact, they drank all day long.
They really pretended not to drink.
They did. According to the exhibit's curator, a Puritan's day included, quote, a healthful dram for breakfast, whiskey, as a typical lunchtime tipple, and ale accompanied supper, and the day ended with a nightcap, unquote. To put it into perspective, if you just look at the amount of pure alcohol in all our cocktails, you know, wine and beer that we drink, Americans today drink about 2 gallons of pure alcohol a year. Back in the 1700s, they drank 5.8 gallons.
Wow, they really threw back.
You know, I did a story on hard cider and how it's kind of our national drink, or used to be our drink. And that's because it was oftentimes much more safe to drink alcohol than water.
Yeah, because the water, because the alcohol killed all the nasty things in it.
Right, this is before Bear Grylls taught us to drink our own urine.
Right, which is now our national drink. And yet, when you think of the Puritans, they seem so uptight.
Yeah, how do you unbuckle all of your clothes when you're just a little soused, right?
That's hilarious. It's like, oh, come to bed with you, but I can't get the buckle in my shoe off.
Somehow my shoe's attached to my hat.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what I did.
My hat is buckled to my head now.
That's why they were so chaste.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, we buckled ourselves to each other. That's kind of like sex.
Yes, you know, I don't drink much. Man, I hardly drink at all. Yeah, you know, I don't drink much. Boy, I hardly drink at all. And well, I wind up so hungover. Man, I wish I could recall.
Coming up, it's an educational bluff, the listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We're playing this week with Mo Rocca, Faith Seeley, and Gabe Liebman. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Right now it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game on the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Adam from Baltimore.
Hey, Adam from Baltimore. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure. What do you do there in the Charm City?
I work for a small chocolate company in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
I see. What do you do for them?
I market kisses.
You market kisses?
Aww. Aww. That's so sweet.
I have a question. Who needs to be convinced to buy Hershey kisses?
There are many more people who could be convinced.
Really?
That's what we're in the job of doing.
You know, it's funny. Now that we're talking about it, I realize I've never bought Hershey Kisses. They just are always there. Now, you know, Marge down at the office, always a little bowl of Hershey Kisses. They just seem to appear. It's nice to have you with us. You're going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Bill, what is Adam's topic?
I'm a lifelong learner.
Continuing education. It's a great way for older people to keep their brains active and stay young, denying the reality that death's scaly claws are waiting to grab them. This week we read a story about continuing education for people who don't have any business continuing their education that way. Guess the real story and you'll win Carl Castle's voice on your voicemail. You ready to play?
You bet.
First, let's hear from Gabe Liebman.
Jeannie Heyer is a woman with two callings, education and talking to dead people. But it wasn't until the financial crisis of 09 hit her hometown of Milwaukee, Kentucky, that Jeannie decided to combine her two passions. According to her website, Jeannie is a, quote, educator to the spirit world and a teacher of souls. Since she began, Jeannie has taught some of the greatest minds of all time. Plato, Magellan, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., just to name a few. But she ran into a problem almost immediately. In her own words, quote, so many of them were so much smarter than I am. So she adjusted her curriculum to only offer one subject to the dead, 21st century American life. The results have been fascinating. Mark Twain took to Twitter almost immediately. Flannery O'Connor loves Broad City. And Cleopatra is now rocking a smoky eye as opposed to her once signature thick black liner after taking Jeannie's most popular class, The Bachelorette and What Love Means to Idiots. quote, sure, to most people, I'm just a brown-haired lady standing alone in a cemetery with my eyes rolled back in my head. But to my students, I'm a freaking genius from the future.
A teacher for the dead, your next story of education for the old comes from Faith Saley.
If you've lost your inner child lately, somewhere under tax returns and conversations about race over coffee, you might want to head back to preschool. A new preschool for adults has opened in, wait for it, Brooklyn, called Preschool Mastermind. According to founder Michelle Joni, the one-month adventure is magical and offers nursery school standbys such as snack time, nap time, and musical chairs. There's vegan Play-Doh and finger painting with glitter glue. And you can sell your arts and crafts on Etsy to help afford the tuition. Because it turns out your inner child is one expensive kid. Tuition's on a sliding scale, so you shell out anywhere from $333 to $999 to surround yourself with grown-ups who, like you, enjoy paying for things they could do at home.
Adult preschool in Brooklyn, of course. Your last story of somebody trying to teach old dogs new tricks comes from Mo Rocca.
With shark attack season upon us, communities across America are preparing with defense classes taking place in towns along Cape Cod, Florida's Gulf Coast, and, of course, landlocked southern Illinois. When the tiny town of Brussels, Illinois, announced that it would teach locals how to defend themselves should a local shark attack, the class filled immediately. Said instructor Mark Haug, "We may not be close to an actual ocean, but the Mississippi River runs awfully close to here. We can't know for certain what's swimming in there. The water, as you may know, is very muddy." Class is held in the local high school swimming pool, and playing the predator in this class, none other than Left Shark from Katy Perry's Super Bowl halftime show. Students learn to jab Left Shark in the eye and gill. Says Left Shark, "I never expected to move to Brussels, Illinois, and make a living at this. And the best part is, I get to bite back this time."
All right. So somewhere, somebody is giving one of these courses. Is it from Gabe Liedman, Education for the Dead, teaching dead people all about the modern world? From Faith Saley, Preschool for Adults in Brooklyn, so you can, you know, find your inner preschooler. Or from Mo Rocca, courses in fighting off sharks in Illinois with the help of the famous Left Shark from the Katy Perry concert. Which one is the real story of continuing education in the news?
I would say when you mentioned that this preschool was in Brooklyn, I think you almost had me sold there. It sounds like the right place for one of these. I'm going to go with Faith's story.
You're going to go with Faith's story of the preschool for adults in Brooklyn. Well, we are very pleased to tell you that to bring you the real story, we spoke to the actual teacher of the course.
We do traditional preschool activities to help them to approach their real-world adult problems.
That was, in fact, Candace Kilpatrick, also known as Teacher Can-Can, from Preschool Mastermind in Brooklyn. She teaches preschool classes for adults. Congratulations, you got it right. You earned a point for Faith Saley, just for being honest. You won our prize. Carol Castle will record the greeting on your voicemail. Well done. Thank you so much for playing.
Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye.
You're a big boy now. You're a big boy now. Come on and take a bow. Cause you're a big boy now.
And now the game where we invite people on who've done a lot to come and do just a little more. Richard Price is a self-described nice, boring guy who has spent his career writing about unpleasant people. His novels like Clockers and Lush Life are about cops and criminals, as were many of the movies and TV shows he's written, like The Wire. We are delighted to have him here with us. Richard Price, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell.
Thank you.
Now, I've heard you say this, that even though you write about terrible people doing sometimes unpleasant things, and you yourself grew up in the Bronx, that you were not a wayward kid. Is that the case?
I was a working class Jewish kid in a housing project, and I wrote about the gangs, but I wasn't the gang I was in was in the there was the Warriors. I was in the Warriors.
The Warriors.
Yeah, and I was also in the Goldberg gang. You'd walk down the street and the Italian guys would go, here comes the Goldberg gang. What are they going to do, algebra?
But you've ended up making quite a career writing, especially about the police. You're known for this guy who can write about the police really well. You've spent a lot of time with police, right?
I'd never met a cop before I was like 35. I had no reason to. And I just got addicted to what you can see from the back of a police car and where you could go, where you could never go in your normal life. And because I had written one or two movies, the first time I was hanging out with cops, I was in awe of these guys. I mean, you know, non-judgmentally, like, you carry death on your hip. You know, you deal with life and death every day. And they would look at me and they go, I want to ask you something, Price. Do you call him Bob, Bobby, or Mr. De Niro? And, you know, so it was this mutual holy cow, you know?
Yeah.
Richard, the scariest scene that you ever wrote, did you imagine it, or was it something that you witnessed?
I don't know. It's all fun for me. You know, I mean, I'd said scary experiences, like... was in a cop car, and all the cops are drunk on Tullamore Dew, you know, God have mercy on their souls. And they pull up to this real bad housing project, and they're not supposed to show up after 10 o'clock, because that's when they knock off to drink. But they got nice and hammered, and they went out at 11 o'clock, and all the drug crews know when these cops go on vacations. They know when their kids are getting bar mitzvahed. They know when they're taking promotion
tests.
Wait
a minute. The drug dealers know when the cop's kid is getting bar mitzvahed?
If they're Jewish, yeah. So they show up at midnight or 11 o'clock, and the gangs are just standing there outraged. You're not supposed to be here. And all of a sudden, the guys go, oh, they can still arrest us. You know, it's not like not fair. So, so they start, like, running away, and these cops get out of the car, and they're chasing. And some of these guys are like gazelles. They're 18 years old. They're 6'2", yeah. Legs up to their ears. You know, and these cops are like 200 pounds, and, you know, the snot's flying. And they're going after them. And I'm sitting in the back of the car, and whoever didn't run, starting to circle the car like this, you know, with the arms folded, looking at me, wondering if they can chop me up and sell me for parts. So all of a sudden, I think the best thing I can do is get out of the car and start running after the cops. So here's the deal. The kids are running, and they come to, like a slope, that is a steep slope down. And the kid goes, like, flying in slow motion to the bottom of the slope. The cop comes slobbering, pinwheeling with his gun out over the slope. And here comes the rider with his notepad, you know, scared to death. And all of a sudden, the cop comes down, and he's wheezing. He's got asthma spray. He's got an oxygen mask and a tank. And I said, did you get him, Chris? You know, and let's go, Chris. You know, but I think I had to change my underwear 7 times. Jersey City back to New York that night.
Oh, man. Do cops read your books and come up to you and go, hey, you got this right? Like, that's exactly how we deal with the clockers,
no,
says the cop.
Here's what happens. I hang out with certain cops, and, you know, I don't literally, it's not a Romana Clef or anything. I'm not literally writing about them. I'm making stuff up. But they love everything in the book except the character they think was based on them. They hate that character. And every once in a while, after a book comes out, and I've been hanging out with these guys, and I've been hanging out with the drug dealers, too, and just the regular people in the projects. And so a year after the book comes out, I'm seeing these cops again. And I'm looking at them, and they're kind of avoiding my eyes. I'm thinking, oh, my God, they think I ripped them off, and I made a cartoon out of their reality and everything. Wasn't that at all. They didn't read the book, and they were embarrassed.
Really?
I had the same thing with Toni Morrison. They sent clockers to her just to get a reaction from her. And 2 weeks later, I see her at a party, and I've known her, and she's kind of like avoiding me, and I come up to her. I'm thinking, oh, God, I'm a racist. She's going to, you know, tear me a new one and, you know, write this article about white imperialists and everything. She didn't read the damn book.
So, Richard, you are perhaps most famous for writing the video for the Michael Jackson song Bad. How did you end up with that job?
Well, here's what happened. The way I heard about it is Michael Jackson wanted to prove to the brothers he was down because he was like too Disney. And so his producers, the great Quincy Jones. So Quincy Jones goes to a short, white Italian guy with asthma, Martin Scorsese. And would you help Michael show he's down to the brothers? So he goes to the short, Jewish, asthmatic writer and says, we got to make Michael down. So you got two short, asthmatic, a Jew and an Italian, taking Minnie Mouse and, you know, give him street cred.
Right. Richard Price, we could talk to you all day, but we have asked you here to play a game we're calling...
My real name is Curtis Bill.
So, for your latest novel, you tried a pseudonym, Harry Brandt, which didn't last very long. We all know it's you. So we're going to ask you three questions about other people using fake names. Get two right and you win a prize for one of our listeners, the voice of Carl Castle, if that is his real name. You ready to play?
Yes, sir.
All right. Bill, who is Richard Price playing for?
Matthew Scala of Elwood City, Pennsylvania.
All right. So here we go. Three questions about pseudonyms. Many people pretend to be others online. John Mackey is the founder and CEO of Whole Foods. He created an online persona so he could praise his own company and diss his rivals. But he also took the time to do what? A, discuss his secret vice, Hostess snack cakes. B, argue repeatedly that the entirety of the Gilligan's Island TV series was a dream Gilligan had while drowning. Or C, praised his own haircut.
All right. I got to go with Hostess.
It'd be kind of funny if he did that. But no, it was actually he praised his own haircut. Among his many posts about Whole Foods and what a great company it is, he said, quote, I like Mackey's haircut. I think he looks cute.
I don't know how I could have missed that.
I know. Two more chances. In 2006, a writer named Lee Siegel wrote a critical review of The Daily Show with Jon Stewart for The New Republic, and readers posted many complaints about his review. So he created an account under a fake name and wrote what? A, quote, Siegel is brave, brilliant, and wittier than Stewart will ever be. Take that, you bunch of immature, abusive sheep, unquote. B, quote, I know Lee Siegel, and you people are making him very, 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 very sad, so please stop, quote. Or C, quote, this article was actually written by Lee's stupid, very jealous brother, Marvin Siegel.
Or like his evil twin, Skippy.
Yes,
Skippy,
exactly.
Yeah. Oh, man. Like, you couldn't ask me, like, Mark Twain is really Samuel Clemens?
Well, I guess we need a new third question, guys. Come up with something.
Well, now it's number one.
It was number one.
Yes.
He wrote,
Yes.
Apparently, you're not allowed to call your own readership immature, abusive sheep. So he was suspended from the New Republic. So you got one right with one to go. Here we go. Using a fake name can also help you get a leg up in politics, as in which of these? Was it A, in 2006, a Wisconsin man running for county sheriff changed his name to Andy Griffith? B, early in his political career, a promising Ohio politician named John Boehner changed the pronunciation of his name? Or C, recently released documents reveal a young Barack Obama considered changing his name to Chad Bennington?
That's just too funny for words if you did that, so I'm going to go with number one.
You're going to go with number one, which is the guy who changed his name to Andy Griffith to run for sheriff. You're right. That's what he did. The real Andy Griffith sued him, folksily. Bill, how did Richard Price do in our quiz?
He got one wrong, but two right, and that is nonfiction. True.
Thank you. Well done. Add this to your accolades. Richard Price's new book is The Whites, written under the name Harry Brandt. Richard Price, thank you so much for joining us on What We Are.
Thank you.
And thanks for your fabulous books. Richard Price, ladies and gentlemen. Airbnb is proud to support Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. At least I'm saying they are. Airbnb connects travelers to local hosts in over 190 countries around the globe, allowing people to truly belong anywhere. Book unique places, from apartments to villas to treehouses in the sky.
I hope they're in the sky. Otherwise, it's a pretty poor treehouse. Visit Airbnb.com to start exploring.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We're playing this week with Mo Rocca, Faith Saley, and Gabe Liedman. Here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. In just a minute, Bill pours Aunt Jerima syrup all over his pancakes. It's the Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Mo, Tinder is great if you want to hook up with any random person. Grindr is great if you want that person to be gay. And now there's J-Swipe if you want to hook up with whom?
Is it with a Jewish person?
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
Jewish Tinder. We're so proud. J-Swipe is known as Jewish Tinder. It promises guilt-free hookups, and the only strings attached will be your tzitzit.
I thought Jewish Tinder was called LinkedIn. Am I wrong?
It works just like, you know, the other apps, you know, less like Tinder. But with J-Swipe, you swipe right if you're interested in him. He swipes right if he's interested in you. And then his mom swipes right if she approves. Faith, 23 states now have legalized medical marijuana. Nevada would like to go a step further. The state is now considering a bill that would legalize medical cannabis for what?
Pets.
Yes, for pets. Well, when Rover has a tummy ache, instead of eating grass, he can smoke it. Vets who support the bill say marijuana is a great treatment for animals' aches, pains, and their strange inability to really appreciate the Grateful Dead. Owners whose dogs have used medical marijuana report their walks have never been shorter or taken longer. And we know there are going to be a lot of thrown sticks you just never get back.
Is it just for
Lassie come home, I never left.
Is it just for dogs? Or
no,
is it,
well,
I mean, it could be like the for cats, right? You know, the laser pointers that cats like to chase after?
Just... Well, we were wondering about this. I mean, because cats already are paranoid. So,
what?
You know,
what?
That's how cats are. It's not going to help the cats. Although there are cats right now who are trying to convince their owners that they have glaucoma. Gabe, this April at the National Gallery of Australia, special tours will be held for guests who want to look at the art while what?
Screaming. I should just ask for a hint. Could I have a hint?
Yeah. That's the way you do it.
Yes. No, well, you know, the Venus de Milo will not be the only one showing it off, if you know what I mean.
Oh, nude.
Yes.
Nude tours.
Nude tours of the art gallery.
Love it.
You've all been there. You're standing next to Michelangelo's David, and you want to, you know, compare. Thanks to an artist who wants to, quote, remove all material barriers between artist and audience, unquote, they have arranged for the museum to offer naked tours. You know what's going to happen. You'll walk in naked, and somebody will be like, oh, that Rubens is so lifelike.
It's got to be at the right kind of museum. You would not want to do that at the Air and Space Museum with all that metal. It just gets cold.
That's true.
I think it's the security guards who just want to stand around and look at a bunch of weird naked people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Will the security guards be naked?
I was assuming no, but yeah. That seems like a union issue, but I don't know Australian law.
But you'll be walking through the museum. It'll be so weird. It will seem as if all the eyes in the paintings are doing anything they can to avoid looking at you. Mo, we've eliminated trans fats. They're gone. We've lowered our sugar intake. We know about other things, but that's not enough. A new study out this week says if we want to lose weight, we might need to cut out what?
It's not going to be sleep because we're already sleeping too little. Can you give me a clue?
Every time I watch Rachel Ray, it goes right to my thighs.
Oh, cut out cooking shows.
Exactly,
yeah,
right.
Stop watching cooking shows.
Stop watching cooking shows.
Except mine.
Except, of course, well, perhaps including yours. Let me explain. Even Americans, as much as we would like to, cannot eat 24 hours a day. So we spend the time while digesting watching cooking shows. And worse, sometimes we cook the recipes we see there. A study compared people who just watch cooking shows to the fools who actually get up and cook the recipes and found that the people who actually cook and eat that food tend to gain 10 pounds more than those who do not.
Oh.
Apparently, it's because the recipes in the shows tend to be very rich. Things like Paula Deen's fried butter pats with lard sauce. Rachel Ray's bacon-wrapped bacon.
Or when Guy Fieri ate an entire diner.
Yes. Well, Mo, can I ask you the question that a lot of these food show hosts get? You make all these rich, fattening foods, and yet you yourself are rather slender. So what's the secret?
What the secret is, I just have a really fast metabolism.
You don't have a spit cup?
No, I actually don't. I eat everything. I do a cooking show so that I can get people to cook for me, so that I can eat their food. Seriously, that's
why
I do.
You're actually eating it?
Yes, I eat it all.
But other people chew it up and go, as soon as the camera's off?
Right.
That's awful.
And I feel like I'm telling all these. Now I'm afraid I'm going to run into Paula Deen in a dark alley.
Coming up, it's lightning fill in the blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924, or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows right here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago, or our upcoming shows in Boston, Massachusetts, Durham, North Carolina, and, proud to say, our July 23rd show at Wolf Trap National Park for the Performing Arts in Virginia. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, I'm Merlin Piero from St. Louis, Missouri.
You're Merlin?
Yeah, like the wizard.
Oh, she hates it.
I had such joy, and you just killed
it. You should say that with pride, I know.
Well, welcome to the show, Merlin. Bill Curtis is going to read for you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly in two of the limericks, you will be a winner.
Okay.
Ready to play?
Yes.
Okay. Here's your first limerick.
Back when giants like John Wayne held court, they'd use actors like Tom Cruise for sport. Though they cry like big babies, they are dwarfed by the ladies. Today's leading men are too
short.
Short,
it is.
Yes, short. Very good. Britain's Daily Mail newspaper conducted an exhaustive scientific study and determined that today's leading actors are significantly shorter than the stars of yesteryear. Gregory Peck was 6'3", John Wayne, 6'4". Ryan Gosling is only 3'2". His entire torso is CGI. Did you know that? Furthermore, today's stars are dwarfed by their leading ladies, who seem to be getting taller. So in Judd Apatow's latest movie, Kate Upton carries love interest Seth Rogen around in a baby Bjorn. It's cute, though. Here is your next limerick.
Our slogans for Coke aren't stealthy. Drink Coke so investors stay wealthy. Now our spin doctor's art says it's good for the heart. We claim that our product is
healthy.
Healthy, yes. Very good, Merlin.
It's magic, Merlin.
Coca-Cola, bless their hearts, a little desperate to increase sales, is rebranding itself as a health food, which is weird because it's neither healthy nor food. Coke says to eat right, have a, quote, mini can of Coke with a handful of almonds for a healthy snack, unquote. It really works. All you have to do is eat the almonds and then take the can of Coke, do 10 bicep curls with it, each arm, then throw it as far as you can. Here is your next limerick.
Read the zoo's intercage memoranda. Put some curtains up on the veranda. Let bygone and gow-gow have privacy now, now. For God's sake, let's stop filming the...
Rhymes with memoranda. Veranda. Hey!
Veranda.
Pandas.
Yes, pandas. Stop telling me the panda. The San Diego Zoo Panda Cam, wildly popular on the internet. You can tune in anytime, see what the pandas are up to. They're adorable. But the zoo announced that they will be turning it off for the pandas' very brief 48-hour mating season. And that is so unfair, because usually they're just lying around eating bamboo, and now something interesting is happening, and we can't watch. But here's what I cannot figure out. They're saying we're turning off the internet camera because we don't want the pandas to feel privacy that they can mate. The pandas know they're on the internet? The male panda's like, I don't care if she's in heat. I'm not doing anything until the little red light goes off.
But all these human beings just strolling by with popcorn, that's fine.
Yes. Bill, how did Merlin do on the quiz?
Merlin got 2 right clean and 1 with our brilliant audience also right. Congratulations, Merlin.
Well done, Merlin. Thank you so
Yay!
Much. Congratulations. Thanks for playing.
I'm just a panda bear. Says a little panda bear, and I'll dance for you if you give me a quarter.
Now it is time to move on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Bill, can you give us the score?
Faith and Gabe each have 3. Mo has 2.
Mo, that means you're in third place, so you're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. On Thursday, ISIS claimed responsibility for the attack at a museum in blank.
Tunisia.
Right. The Presbyterian Church updated their constitution to formally permit blank.
Same-sex marriage.
Right. 2 months after broadcasting an ad saying there would, quote, never be kale at McDonald's, McDonald's is reportedly adding blank to the menu.
Kale.
Right. In an effort to improve its image, Microsoft announced this week that it is killing off blank.
Bill Gates?
No.
No, that's a horrible thing to say. The Clippy thing. The little,
no, he's long gone. They're going to end Internet Explorer.
Okay.
On Thursday, Amazon won approval to test its proposed blank delivery system.
Drone.
Right. A bride-to-be in India called off her wedding after her groom failed to blank.
Make reservations for a honeymoon.
No, the groom failed to solve a math problem. So it was actually the wedding was going on. It's one of those Indian weddings, been happening for a while. They're coming up in the moment of truth. And the bride turned to her groom and asked him what 15 plus 6 was. And the groom, who at that point was really regretting their decision to write their own vows, answered 17. And the wife turned and walked out. The bereft groom said, that's okay. There are plenty more fish in the sea, though I have no idea how many. Bill, how did Mo do in our quiz?
Well, pretty good. Mo got 4 right, 8 more points, 10 now with the lead.
All right. Ooh. We flipped a coin, and Gabe has elected to go next. So, Gabe, fill in the blank. Okay. This week, the FBI arrested real estate heir and documentary subject blank on murder charges.
Robert Durst.
Right. On Tuesday, House Republicans released their annual budget proposal, which called for the repeal of blank.
Obamacare.
Right. Crops were devastated and homes were destroyed after a blank hit the island country of Vanuatu.
A monster cyclone.
Indeed, yes. On Thursday, Target agreed to a $10 million settlement with customers who had their personal information blanked.
Compromised or hacked?
Yes. Two people were injured at a bowling alley in Ukraine when a man blanked.
When he tried to do something really funny with the ball.
No, he used a grenade instead of a bowling ball.
They don't look similar at all.
It was not an accident. He was trying to pick up the spare. Following the controversy over her private email use, blank's support among Democrats dropped by 15%.
Hillary Clinton.
Right. 2 Irishmen were suspected of stealing $600 in cash from a pharmacy when they were found blanking.
Swimming through it like Scrooge McDuck.
So close.
You're kidding.
Sleeping on it.
Close enough.
They were found sleeping in a pile of $600. The 2 men had just finished robbing their local pharmacy when they decided to reenact that bed full of money scene from Indecent Proposal, except instead of $1 million, they only had 600 and some change, and no one got to sleep with Robert Redford. Bill, how did Gabe do in our quiz?
Well, he got 5 right for 10 more points, so he has the lead with 13.
Well done. And how many then does Faith need to win?
5 to tie and 6 to win.
Here we go, Faith. On Wednesday, President Obama picked top-seeded Kentucky to win this year's blank.
NCAA championship.
Yes. On Monday, a former Air Force mechanic was arrested for allegedly trying to join blank.
Oh, ISIS.
Right. Officials confirmed this week that a letter sent to the blank tested positive for cyanide.
White House.
Right. Mayor Bill de Blasio boycotted New York City's annual blank parade, citing its lack of LGBTQ representation.
St. Patrick's Day.
Right. Baltimore Ravens offensive lineman John Urschel made headlines for blanking this week.
For retiring from the NFL, so he...
No, a different guy. This guy made headlines for writing and publishing a paper titled A Cascadic Multigrid Algorithm for Computing the Fiedler Vector of Graph Laplacians in the Journal of Computational Mathematics.
I was so going to say that.
Thanks to another snowstorm on Sunday, Blank had its snowiest year on record.
Boston.
Right. Just 1 week after Apple announced their new smartwatch, Blank announced they'd be releasing their own version by the end of the year.
Google.
Right. A teenager in England who woke up from a 9-day coma found out that he was unable to stop blanking.
Brushing his teeth.
No, he was unable to stop eating cheese and swearing. Ever since waking up from a 9-day coma, Chesterfield resident Kai Thomas found that he cannot stop eating cheese and swearing. Which causes pretty much everyone else to think, is that it? Was I in a coma once? Because Bill, did Faith do well enough to win?
She needed six to win, and she got it.
Hey, oh. Faith! In just a minute, we'll ask our panelists, now that Starbucks has fixed racism, what'll be the next problem solved by a corporation? But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Angie's List, a service designed to help consumers fix and improve their homes. Visitors can get project support and schedule appointments with local contractors online or with the Angie's List iPhone and Android apps. More at angieslist.com. Lindemood Bell, Lindemood Bell Learning Centers, work to help all students reach their potential for learning. Summer programs are available to improve reading and comprehension. Learn more at lindemoodbell.com. Lumber Liquidators, offering a variety of sustainably harvested flooring, including pre-finished and stained exotic and domestic hardwood, bamboo, and cork. Learn more at lumberliquidators.com or 1-800-HARDWOOD. And TravelZoo, over 27 million members worldwide. Airfares, hotels, vacations, and cruises online at TravelZoo.com or on the TravelZoo app. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, Benevolent Overlord. Philip Goedeke writes our limericks, our house manager is Don Hall, our assistant house manager is Tyler Green, our intern is Jeanette Harris, Court's Danger at every turn. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Special thanks to John Zajac and Lester Larchick at Chase Bank. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced every week by Eva Waltrover and Miles Dernboss. Special thanks this week to Annie Goodson and Opus Moreski. Technical directions from Lorna White. Our CFO is Andy N. Our production coordinator is Robert Soda Pants Newhouse. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog. And the executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Michael Danforth. Now, panel, what'll be the next problem solved by a corporation? Gabe Liedman.
Speedo for global warming. In this new world, you just gotta cover up your stuff that'll ruin the couch.
Faith Saley!
Kraft is taking on our obesity epidemic, one shard of recalled mac and cheese at a time.
And Mo Rocca.
Taco Bell will get opponents on immigration policy to talk it out over a heaping plate of chalupas. It's their Race Together to the Bathroom campaign.
If any of that happens, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Bill Curtis. Thanks also to Mo Rocca, Faith Saylor, and welcome to Gabe Liedman. Thanks to you all for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. We'll see you next week. This is NPR.